We are in close coordination as a matter of course with the Israelis and continue to be. Not going to comment specifically on actions that the Israelis may or may not have taken.
Boy, that seems like a wicked game of who's zooming who or the Potomac sidestep. We're talking about Syria there. That's Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, there is some twisted things going on across this land. Syria will push aside for a second. I think it's significant. We've talked about it a lot. Boots on the ground, that would be the scariest thing possible. I don't see that happening. It keeps being emphasized over and over again. But we've heard that saga before. What kind of weapons? What about other people pouring in to get the weapons? Can we really arm rebels that we're not sure of what the intentions are? From all accounts, we're talking about a feast. The rats are jumping in, swarming, and trying to get their hands on anything they can, and that is a very scary thought. But how deep do we even want to go into yet another poisonous place on the map that is the Middle East? There's some gems surrounded by some very poisonous, poisonous gardens over there, and we are right in the thick of it now. Do we want to jump into yet another problem? It seems like the writing's on the wall and that it's going to happen. It just has to be blessed. This is the strangest story ever. I mean, one of the strangest things that I've ever seen in my career. You have Amanda Berry, who was last seen after finishing up a shift at a Burger King in Cleveland in 2013. You know how old she was? 17 years old. It was her birthday. She disappeared, poof, into thin air. Then you had Gina De Jesus, who disappeared a year later in April 2004. You know how old she was? 14. Before that, 2002, Michelle Knight vanished seemingly into the thin air at 21. All three found alive in a house in a Cleveland neighborhood. Police announced it as an incredible miracle. The families were hysterical. What happened was Amanda Berry somehow got loose, screamed, was hysterical, getting out of the house, ran to a neighbor's, frantically called 911, saying, "I've been kidnapped. I've been missing for 10 years. I'm here. I'm free now." Most annoying 911 call. As the call went on, the person on the other end, the dispatcher, kept asking, "Well, what kind of clothes did he have? Really? What kind of clothes did he have? She's been trapped in a basement, tied up for 10 years, and God knows what happened. And who knows if there are other women involved in this?" So the cops swarmed the house. A 52-year-old man identified as a former school bus driver, that's frightening. Two others, as his brothers, 50 and 54, also arrested. The deputy police chief, Ed Tumba, told the reporters in Cleveland that police believe only the middle brother lived at the house. All three are in jail waiting for those charges. An FBI team is collecting evidence in the house, and they are all over that house. They are digging up the dirt around that house. Ariel Castro is the guy that we're talking about, this former bus driver, and this has another twist to it, this story. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. And we've just scratched the surface on this one. So check this out. Castro's son went to school at Bowling Green University. He was a journalism major. His name was Anthony Castro. And while he was at Bowling Green, he wrote an article talking about the three women, talking about the disappearance of the women. How crazy is that? Saying how shocking it was. We're actually talking about the two women and how shocking it was. And here it is that his father is involved in this. His father is seemingly the ringleader. Who knows as this all pours out. So Ariel Castro in police custody after that frantic 911 call three women and a six-year-old child came out of that neighborhood as a result. And Castro, the son, was a college student, writing the story on a class assignment. He has to be absolutely stunned that his father is in custody for this. Whew. Unbelievable. And the real hero in this, I'll tell you, the most authentic person of the week, at least dubbed by me here in America tonight, has to be the neighbor. The neighbor was incredible because he didn't pull any punches. He just said, listen, this guy was the most boring neighbor. He didn't do anything. We ate ribs. We barbecued outside. I never saw any women. The neighbor is Charles Ramsey. He talked about the story, how he helped the missing women found alive on Seymour Avenue outside of Cleveland. And here they're found this many years later. Imagine the families, how stunned they must be. Imagine the neighborhood, how furious this community must be that all of this was going on while he was living a so-called normal life, and he must have been stalking these girls while he was a bus driver. Crazy. The parents, some of the parents did not give up, and others thought that they were, of course, dead, missing over a decade. How can you lead yourself to believe that everything is okay? All right, if you were against internet sales tax, because, boy, you like getting the free ride, look out. The Senate passes that pretty easily, 69 to 27. So now it goes to the House. The House says yes. The president signs it, and bada bing, it is the new way of life. Lots of money will be raised in sales revenue, so good for some states. Not good for everybody else in between, because you weren't paying the sales tax on top of the shipping fees and everything else. In fact, that was probably one of the trump cards of the people who were shipping things. You know, it's kind of like Amazon, where they say free shipping if you buy XYZ. But you definitely have to pay this sales tax only if the House blesses it. There seems to be some momentum, but it's always tough to say. If I were a betting person, I believe it goes through whether we like it or not. Some big stores like it. Other people don't like it. It's kind of a 50-50 thing here. Flip a coin and see where it lands, because it's pretty much what happens here is once it becomes a law, we all have to worry about that sales tax now. Sometimes that sales tax, depending on where you live, can be pretty high. I know where I am, it's under 10, but it's nothing to sneeze at. It adds up pretty quickly. All right, you want to stay with us here on America Tonight, because we have more fun and frivolity coming your way next on the show. Quick reminder, don't forget we have our conversation with our man on the West Coast, Stephen Shohat. It'll be about Iron Man, Iron Man 3, opening to rave reviews, and lots of dollars at the box office. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
And Life, their big production, 150th anniversary tribute book, Gettysburg, Turning Point of the Civil War. Like I said, I've read a lot. I love Civil War history and history just in general. And I've read a lot about the Civil War battles, been to a lot of the battlefields, been to Gettysburg a ton of times. And this, the book that they put together, because what a task trying to figure out a way to make something different, to bring it all around. And you know, when you're doing a coffee table book, the pictures and the history and the timelines and things you have to put in it. So we'll talk to him coming up in our next segment. 150 years, can you believe it? I tell a funny story where I was in Washington, D.C., and I was in the oldest house in Washington, D.C. It's right there in the middle of Georgetown. You're just walking along, there's all the stores, oh, there's the Gap, but there's a La Madeleine and whatever. And then poof, here's this oldest house in Washington. And I went in and there was hardly anyone taking any tours, and it was cool. They had original staircases, all kinds of stuff from, you know, right after really the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And in the shop they had hats, they had Confederate hats and Union hats. And of course my family, coming over from Ireland and being in the East, Confederate, of course, Union, and I picked up a Confederate hat and went to check out, and the guy just looked at me practically cross-eyed and said, you know, ma'am, we don't sell very many of those in here. So, well, my husband's from Texas, so thus the Confederate hats. Now, they still do all those battle reenactments, many of you know that, all over the place. And Gettysburg, of course, is one of them. So very excited about that at the bottom of the hour. All right, in the meantime, check this out. Two things. I was in New York when 9/11 went down. It was awful. I can just remember seeing the empty hole in the sky when I would go to work, going over the Verrazano Bridge. And, of course, that's after the towers came down, and then watching everything that happened from start to finish there. Now we're at the point where it's all about commemorating the anniversary of September 11th, you know, year in and year out, the deaths of nearly 3,000 people after the hijacked planes. We all know the saga now. And how do you remember them and all the things that they've gone through to put this together and figure it out correctly? Now, families of the 9/11 victims are furious over the National September 11th Memorial Museum's decision to charge admission for visitors. They're saying it's a slap in the face that it's not, you know, patriotic people from all corners of the country and beyond, outside of our country, come here to see it. And they're trying to teach children something and show respect. Now they have to pay a fee. So the fee is, it's not set yet, but the price is going to range from $20 to $25. Fair or foul? You see, here's what I would say. If the money was used as scholarships or something for people who were hit hard because of that, you know, maybe, but I kind of agree with them, especially a higher fee. If you think of Oklahoma City, and I've been there, the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum, they got a $12 admission. Of course, 12 is different than 20 or 25. What they're saying, though, is it's necessary because they want the museum to be good, that it's a horrible, horrible disaster, and they're making it the best they can. So, in other words, they need the bread. That's what it is. They need the money because it costs a fortune to pull it together to figure out how to do it and how to do it the way they want to do it, right? Because, trust me, it's been so political. There's so many arguments and fights and everything else over that. All right, speaking of horrific things, tragedies and terror, how about the suspected Boston Marathon bomber, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, and the fact that his body is in limbo? Because the funeral home is still there, and the body is unclaimed at this point. I mean, actually, it's in a state morgue, so it's unclaimed. And the mother of Tamerlan said that she wanted her 26-year-old son to be buried near a Cambridge mosque, but nobody wants his body. Nobody wants to take it in. Nobody will allow in Massachusetts, just in Massachusetts in general, let alone Cambridge, they can't find anyone who will take it. I mean, they're struggling that nobody wants anything to do with his body. And probably cemeteries are worried about some kind of reprisals from the people who have other loved ones that are there that don't want this terrorist to be buried there. And just in general, they don't want him to be buried there. So, you know how this goes. They're still stuck. They're still stuck. They're trying to figure out ways, because here's the other part of this. The Maine South Alliance for Public Safety is trying to raise money. So think about this. They're trying to raise money for his body, this guy who shattered all these lives, like Lingzi Liu, the graduate student from China, who they begged her to come here, recruited her. 8-year-old Martin Richard, who held up a poster with a couple of words on a sign at school, no more hurting people, and he died. Sean Collier, the MIT cop. How about Crystal Campbell? Not even 30 years old, she died. And now they're going to try to raise money to have his body shipped overseas. And what the group is saying is he's not a citizen. He shouldn't be given rights, but we have to do something here. Oh, my, oh, my. What are the options? What do you do? How do you handle this? How do you handle this? You think of other famous incidents where somebody has... you know, somebody doesn't want anything to do with the body, like Lee Harvey Oswald. And, of course, after the assassination of JFK, and he's buried in Dallas. where he lived before the shooting, but there was some controversy over that. The Oklahoma City bomber, Timothy McVeigh, his ashes were scattered after his execution. Don't know where. John Wilkes Booth, Abraham Lincoln's killer, unmarked grave in a Baltimore cemetery where other members of his family are buried. So what's the right thing to do with Tsarnaev? There is no answer to this one. And I'm sorry, I do not feel sorry for that mother. All right, quickly, how about the feds in Minnesota? Minnesota man was arrested after they found weapons and explosives in his house after he was scheduled to appear in a federal court. Buford Bucky, his nickname Rogers, was picked up heading into the weekend, so late Friday, after they found in his house explosives, Molotov cocktails, pipe bomb, that kind of stuff. They discovered an AKM assault rifle. That's a Romanian deal. And he was a convicted felon. He was arrested on a charge of illegally possessing a gun. The FBI believes that a terror attack was disrupted by the cops and that the lives of some local people were probably saved, but the cops are downplaying the possible threat. They think he was an anti-government guy who was cooped out, and it wasn't necessarily terrorism, that it was more what they would call, I guess, domestic terrorism, but that's still terrorism of a sort if he was going to just go on a rampage. He fired an assault rifle at a gun range on a couple of different occasions, and he's, as I said, a felon, so he's legally barred from possessing firearms because he was convicted of third-degree burglary in 2011. So there's not lots of explanations on what possibly could have happened here, if there were intended targets and what prompted the search and, you know, all that kind of stuff in the end. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're talking about a different war. We're talking about Gettysburg and the Civil War, the culmination of everything that led up to Gettysburg, some of the things that happened en route to it, and really just how horrific it was, the advancements in one sense that were made medically, but the things that they had to deal with in a moment's notice because there were so many casualties. Hang with us.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 1 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. That's 1 dozen beautiful assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter the secret code MOM20. Plus, for a very limited time, Pro Flowers has an even sweeter deal for you. Order now and you can double your roses. That's right, double your roses and get free chocolates for just $10 more. Remember, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible last-minute deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code MOM20.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
About our next guest, Kelly Knauer, is with us, and Kelly Knauer is now my favorite book editor because this book is incredible. We're talking about 150th anniversary tribute, Times, Gettysburg, Turning Point of the Civil War, and, you know, that was the epic battle, of course. As a kid, I can remember going to that battlefield so many, many times. Kelly is also the chief writer, obviously. Kelly, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it, because this year, 150 years, that's pretty darn big, isn't it?
I know. How about that?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, when we're kids, we learn it in school, and since I grew up in the Northeast, and not too far from Gettysburg, outside of Philadelphia, like I said, we were taken there every year, so I really got to know the history of Gettysburg. But besides the obvious turning point of, you know, what happened at the Civil War, is there something else about Gettysburg that intrigues us so much?
Well, there are a number of things. First of all, just in terms of sheer numbers, this was a huge battle. It really was the biggest battle of the war. There were 160,000 troops from both sides, and they're converging on this little town in Pennsylvania that had a population of 2,400. So, and it took them about a day and a half just for everybody to arrive. The battle started before all the armies were on the scene. In fact, the Union commander was not even at Gettysburg until the second day of the 3 days of battle. So it was a very big battle, and then it was a decisive battle in the sense that this was only the second time that Robert E. Lee was able to invade Union territory. All the fighting in the war in the Eastern Front in the Virginia and Maryland area was done in Virginia and was basically the Union offensive going down there and trying to break through and seize Richmond, the Confederate capital. And there were only two occasions on which Lee kind of escaped being bottled up in Virginia and attacked the North. And the first was in September of 1862, and that ended at the Battle of Antietam, which was kind of a standoff, but you would call it a Union victory. And then the second time was 10 months later in June and July of 1863. He comes up again for just basically trying to cause trouble and to show that the Union was not as strong as Lincoln proclaimed it was. And he was roundly defeated, soundly defeated in 3 days of battle. And the very next day, Ulysses Grant in a whole different theater out on the Mississippi seized control of Vicksburg, which meant the Union now had control of the Mississippi River. So it's those two events in tandem really are the turning point of the war. And then, Kate, there's another thing about it that makes it so important, and that's because then 6 months later, Abraham Lincoln goes to Gettysburg and delivers this magnificent address, which is really one of the principal documents of American democracy. And, you know, if there had not been the Gettysburg Address, I don't think that Gettysburg would have quite the aura that still surrounds it today.
Yeah, well said. And you emphasize that in the book. One thing that's great about this book, and I can tell, obviously, well, you can tell me this, probably when this was dreamed up, and I picture you sitting around in New York and other places on the phone and whatnot and discussing this, how did you decide to do the book the way you did it? Because it's hard, 150 years. You got some awesome maps in it. You have the thing that I love is the minute-by-minute accounts, which I never read really anywhere. I knew what happened, but I didn't know minute-by-minute, and that makes it that much more fascinating. How'd you decide what stays in and what goes out?
Well, you know, first of all, we have a fun term for that at time. When we do a kind of a minute-by-minute account, we call that a TikTok. And it's something that Time has always done really well, and it's just a great way to tell a story. If you have the room, the problem is a lot of times you don't have the room to tell the story. The great thing about this book is it's a big book. It's physically large, and it just is a wonderful panorama for photographs, but I have a lot of pages in the book, and we had time to really go into it and say, here's what happened at this particular time on this particular day, and it becomes this incredible tale, and the more you get into it, you know, 3 days of battle, and each day has its own particular character, which is fascinating to me. You know, the first day, very different from the second day, very different from the third day. So it's kind of like a three-act play. So actually, Kate, once you decide, okay, we're going to do a TikTok, and we're going to tell what happened at what time every single of these 3 days, and then we also trace back Lee's entire invasion of the North. We carry it forward a bit and talk about the end of the war because we want to kind of tidy the story up. Well, you know, it all comes together pretty well. So
yeah, one of the things you talk about in the book, and of course that people who know anything about the Civil War and have read about it and what it was, you know, what it was like as far as the loss of life and just how darn bloody it was, and all of the things that came out of that as far as medical advances and limitations. What do you think people would take away that aren't aware of that? You know, like there was the amputees
this is I'm kind of sorry to have to say this, but you know, a lot of the injuries suffered at Gettysburg by the soldiers really resemble the kind of injuries you saw at the Boston Marathon. Those two jokers up in Boston were using armament, if you want to call it that, that was really kind of similar to what people were using at Gettysburg. This is stuff that is basically designed to maim people. You know, they put those pressure cookers, they had them full of shrapnel and pieces of metal. That's exactly what they used at Gettysburg. They would put pieces of, they called it grape and canister, and they would literally pack little ball bearings, we would call them ball bearings today, little round marbly pieces of metal in a canister, about 30 pieces, stick them down the muzzle of a cannon, and then shoot them, and it turned the cannon into a kind of a shotgun. So you have all these people getting peripheral injuries on their arms and legs, and there were many, many amputations. The good thing, and there were some good things that came out of Gettysburg, the Union had a wonderful physician named Dr. Jonathan Letterman, and he pretty much pioneered what we would think of today as a triage system. They had field hospitals right near the battlefield, and they really had learned how to transport the soldiers, get them off the battlefield, get them to these, you know, these first responder, we'd call it now, a first responder station just off the battlefield, you know, put a tourniquet on them, and then take them to another field hospital a little further away, do the amputations, and we had our science editor at the time, Jeff Kluger, write a story about the medicine there. And it gets, he tells you about it. He says it takes 15 minutes to take an arm off or a leg off. And then they would take them, they would shuttle them to yet another bigger hospital, which was called Camp Letterman, and then they would shuttle them back to Washington. And it was kind of a moving series, and they just kept doing this, and it really sharply reduced the amount of deaths that occurred. But the other thing that they really learned, and they were, it's hard to imagine this, Kate, but they were just learning at the time how important it was in terms to keep things sanitary. These people didn't even clean their instruments sometimes. They didn't clean their operating instruments. They were just beginning to learn about the importance of antisepsis. They were just pioneering anesthesia. It was the early days of anesthesia. It was pretty grim, Kate. It was really bad. Yeah. There's a lot of heroism in Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah. General Lee, best general ever, one of the greatest, top five. What do you think?
Oh, I think top five. I mean, I'm not sure who we're talking about. I mean, if you throw in Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar and Napoleon, I don't know. But he's certainly perhaps the greatest American general of all time. And you know, he just exuded confidence, and he had a natural authoritative bearing, and his men loved him. And, you know, he comes off as a kind of a solid, resolute character, but he was a gambler, man, and he did things that, you know, at the Battle of Chancellorsville, which was only 6 weeks before Gettysburg, he divided his whole army in two and sent Stonewall Jackson way around on this 10 or 12 hour march, flanking march, totally flanked the Union. And Stonewall Jackson attacked them about 5 in the evening, and it was just a complete rout. And by this time, Lee had become one of the most famous people in the world, and the European military strategists were just so impressed that this guy, commanding huge armies, would take these incredibly risky chances. And the whole campaign that ended in Gettysburg was basically just a roll of the dice by Lee. You know, as I said earlier, he was tired of being cooped up in Northern Virginia. They didn't have stores to feed the soldiers. They had been there for several years, and they didn't have any more food left. And the Union had been burning the fields and burning the crops. One reason they went north was simply to get some food for the soldiers. But the other was just to kind of take a gamble and see how much trouble they could cause and to scare the Union. There was a big peace party in the Union. There were a lot of anti-war activists in the North. And Lee was trying to get those guys to get a little bolder, and he was trying to win people over to that side, and it was all just one big gamble. And he was a gutsy general. He really was.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, one last one. The photographer Matthew Brady, familiar with him when I was a kid. That's some of the first photographs I saw when I was, I want to say, in fourth grade, and we learned about Gettysburg and history. Man, he really brought it to life for people, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he did, or brought it to death. I hate to say it, but, yeah. But in a way, he presented images off the battlefield that no one had ever seen before. They literally, I mean, we're talking about the dawn of photography here. This is the early days of photography. And, you know, war had been romanticized, and, you know, it was patriotic, and it was wonderful, but nobody had seen it in as it really was. You know, they had seen it courtesy of these elaborate battle paintings, you know, that you think of when you see a painting of a Napoleonic battle or something like that. And nobody had seen dead bodies lying on the ground, and much less dead bodies that had been looted by other soldiers and had their shoes stripped off of them and their belongings taken away from them. Nobody had seen this ever in history. And so Brady, and he actually, you know, we can't give all the credit to Brady. He had a number of very gifted associates. They brought it to life or death, whatever you want to call it, as no one ever had before. We had fun, Kate. We got a guy who does photographs in the Brady process using the old wet plate process, and we got him to go to Gettysburg and shoot the same exact scenes that Brady had shot 150 years ago, because we just wanted to see, you know, how is the battlefield look today? And I was very interested in seeing that the tremendous power these Brady photographs have. Is it because of the black and white? Is part of it the process? And you know, I have to say, when we did shoot these same places, the modern day photos have that same kind of gravity and seriousness. So I think there is a little bit of something about the photographic process that is part of the magic of those Brady images. They are really unforgettable.
Yeah, absolutely. This book is terrific. You owe it to yourself to pick it up. It's Times, Gettysburg, Turning Point of the Civil War. Kelly Knauer, congratulations on the book, and we hope to talk to you again down the road.
Okay, nice talking to you, Kate.
Thanks.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Snail mail we get. A lot of people like to listen to the show sometimes even a day later. By the way, we have a Kate Delaney app. You can get that by going to the network, GCNlive.com, and you can carry around the show with you if you want. I know some people that are doing that in the UK. I've gotten a few notes from Eric and one from Bob as well. So that's a great idea. If you can't listen live, you can listen when it's more convenient. And so maybe that's it. Some people choose the route to email the show. So anyway, we get a ton of them. I always say that if you have some thoughts and you don't feel like checking in with us at 855-266-5283, send them to us, americatonight.net. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
All right, this one from Jake in Austin. Jake says, yo, Ms. Delaney, I got to ask you a question. This is so crazy about the Boston bombing suspect's body. I say, who cares? So I can't blame the cemeteries. I got to be honest, I can't blame the cemeteries for not wanting him to be buried there. If their loved ones are there, they feel creepy about having this jerk who ruined the lives of so many people in their beloved city. And I'll say it again, you really have to feel for the people who run those places because they shouldn't be forced to do that. Well, here's the thing. They're not going to be forced to do that, Jake. You can't force them to take a body. They can't. This is the problem. They're trying to figure out how to arrange shipping the body to Dagestan, where Tsarnaev's parents live, but it's like $5,000 to do that. So they're trying to raise money, which is almost sickening in itself, I guess, in a way. You know, even this retired maintenance worker in Worcester, Massachusetts, opened a bank account with $500 to start a fund to pay for sending the body away. And, you know, he says because his house is near the funeral parlor where the body is, he says he's not sleeping well. And he just wants the body gone. And he's willing to, he hates this guy, but he's, what he did and all that stuff, but he's willing to pay $500 and get other people to chip in to get him out of there, to just get that body out. That's it. So you got people who are protesting and are furious. You have people that won't accept the body locally. And then you have other people who are raising money to get the body out of the state. Out of the state. So the mother, Zubaydah Sheronaev, wants him sent back to Russia, but they don't have the money to send the corpse there. And then shipping it there, who's getting the body and all that other sort of stuff. So you've got people outside, like 100 to maybe 200 at the high time outside of the funeral place now, and they're screaming and they're waving flags and they're shouting USA and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, he's stuck. What's he going to do? They brought the body there, and it's what he said. I have to process. What am I supposed to do? So the city of Cambridge, they don't want him. You grew up here? Great. We don't want you. We don't want your stinking body. We don't want it. We're not being forced to do that. Sheronaev lived in the area that's home to Harvard University since he came to the United States with his parents. Since they actually left that country as refugees about a decade ago. That's what's so sad about this whole story. The guy was living off of welfare, so he's taking taxpayer money. They lived in the United States. They were getting away from what was going on in Chechnya. And this is how he turns around and treats America. That's what he does to America. Just absolutely crazy. So, you know, some people are saying that the body should be dealt with the same way that Osama bin Laden's body was, that they should just dump him out to sea. That they should do the rites and then just throw him off the end of a boat. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, it's starting to get, this is April 19th when he died. So what the ultimate decision here is, not sure. It's dicey, too, as to how to handle all this, what to do here. One good thing, May 30th at Boston's TD Garden Arena, it sold out. I mean, it sold out, boom, like this. You know why it sold out? Because Aerosmith, Jimmy Buffett, New Kids on the Block, and others are coming to play to raise more money for the One Fund Boston. They've already raised over $30 million, and this money goes directly to the families. The guy who runs One Fund Boston helped the people out in New York and in some other victims, too, as well. And he's great. This Kenneth Feinberg, he's great at distributing the money. You know, there's no shenanigans there. Boom. It's as much as they can get. They get everything that they go to the families, find the families, get the money, try to get through the red tape as fast as they can so it's not tied up. Because you got to think of the amount of medical expenses that are racking up and what that's going to cost. You know, see, here's the thing. It's like the, in a way, it's this, like the stages of grief. People are upset. They're helping you. They're all over you. They're bringing you casseroles. They're talking to your family. And then life has to move on. But it, for the people who lost limbs, life is just beginning in a very new way. So many of them having to learn how to live a different kind of life. Imagine losing two legs, one leg, other parts of your body, because not everybody, it was just legs. You know, they said there was, I want to say, 35 amputations and all. Whew. Big story going is Benghazi. Sad to me. Doesn't matter if you are, in this case, I really believe this now at this point, doesn't matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or you really don't label yourself as anything. I think that this, what's now happened with Benghazi is just ridiculous. You know, give us the unfiltered truth here. instead of us going round and round and round the merry-go-round of what really happened in Benghazi. We just want to know the answers. It's been since September. You think about that, since September of 2012. And the families who are stuck hearing no answer, no clear-cut answer as to the why question. Why weren't people rescued? Because they weren't close enough. Because they didn't pay attention to the calls. But the biggest thing is afterwards saying, well, this is that movie and that got some people up in arms. But no, it was a planned Al-Qaeda attack. And unfortunately, it's clear in the emails and everything else that's coming out that that's exactly what it was. So why bother? Why not just say, we thought it was that, that's what we said, we were wrong? Or how about this, when we don't know answers, saying, I don't know, we're investigating. It's because, it's like that thing, well, just come up with an answer. Whatever the answer is, it has to be this. Let's not say Islamic terrorism, let's just... say, oh, there's some anti-American attitude over this terrible video that was put out about the Prophet Muhammad that was pumped on YouTube, and it was nothing of the sort. It's just such a disservice to the people who were left behind, who had, you know, their loved ones killed because of the service to the country. So now you have these whistleblowers, these witnesses who are saying, one of them, that it could have the deadly attack could have been prevented if fighter jets had been deployed. That's what one person, Gregory Hicks, is saying. He said this during an interview last month with the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. They call him a whistleblower because he's going to testify on Wednesday before that committee. He was deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Libya. After Ambassador Chris Stevens was killed that night, he became the highest-ranking diplomat on the ground. And he argued that after the first wave of attacks on the U.S. consulate, the military could have prevented more violence with a scrambled flight after the first wave. But would they have gotten there in time? Who knows? But there's some other things, too, that will come up as to, you know, did Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, decide conveniently she was going to cut out the Counterterrorism Bureau and keep them out of the loop? I don't know. Like I said, if the Democrats are bagging on the president and the administration for what's happened here, you know that this has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with getting to the bottom, finding the truth.
Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.